Greetings, salutations, and welcome back to the Plains Talkers podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my baby, it's cold outside, but it's not cold in Kaldheim, co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you, sir?
Actually, wouldn't it be really cold in Kaldheim? It's all the snow.
No, sir, because I'll tell you why. The previews, they're hot. All right, let's get right into it. I'm just late. This is what happens when we take 2 weeks off. All right. Before we begin, I'd like to remind you that this episode and every episode of the Plains Talkers podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. And yes, Magic Jumpstart. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge, someday if COVID ever ends... Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in both Catskill, New York, and now on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Galleria, Poughkeepsie, New York, Kerwin's Game Store is the best place in gaming. Now, they do have a great website. They put it up during the beginning of this pandemic. We want to remind you to go to there. You can find that at KGS Online. That's KiteGoSamuelOnline.com. And you can go there. And if you use the promo code PlainsTalkers2020 at checkout, I don't know if it'll stay 2020 after Friday, we'll have to ask Steve that. But for right now, stick with 2020. And if that doesn't work, try 2021. You can get 5% off any order at PlainsTalkers2020 at checkout. We also want to take a second to recognize our Planeswalker level patrons. Brian, David, Jonathan, Johnny, Bell, Anthony, Steve, Mark, George, Josh, Zach, Ian, and Randy. Listen, these are the guys that keep the lights on. They're really good to us. They've been really great to us. We are so appreciative for everything you guys do. Guys being, you know, vernacular, certainly no misogyny here. So I definitely want to say thank you to you for just coming alongside the show. You know, we are going to have in early January, we're going to have our Planeswalker call. So we'll be sending out information through Patreon about that. This is where we're going to shape the show. We're going to get ready to do the Kaldheim win a box promo, the whole nine. So if you want to be a part of that call, if you want to help shape how this Kaldheim win a box is going to go in the rest of the year, go to patreon.com/planestalkers. Finally, we want to remind you that we are a featured podcast on Feedspot. Go to blog.feedspot.com/magic_the_gathering_podcasts. We're top 25 podcasts there, so we want to thank them very much. And it is the holiday season, so we are an untap, upkeep, and draw. So I'm also going to untap some of my holiday white ale. So bon appetit, Merry Christmas. Aramis, how the hell are you, sir?
Happy Christmas, Hana Quantica.
Yes, happy all of that stuff.
All of that stuff. Yule, Festivus, all that stuff.
Hey, Jordan, good to see you. Hey, Darkness. Hey, Mama. And Anthony's going to give us good news here in a second. So, but how have you been, sir?
I have been doing pretty well. You know, holidays were good. No typical craziness. We have an interrupt on the stack from Stephen Kerwin, so we'll get to that in a second.
Oh, he would like to cast an interrupt after our announcements. I can let this happen. Yeah, Steve, if you want, we'll bring you into the... Steve, you want to come into the Zoom, you're more than welcome. So just let me know. Just send me a text or whatever. I'll bring you into the Zoom. So
things were good, and I don't want to say too much more because now I'm really super curious as to what he has to say.
Keep the show going. Keep the show rolling, man. This is what we do. Keep the show rolling.
Everything was great. You know, I got a couple new deck boxes for Christmas, got some new sleeves, got some boosties. So I have new commander decks that are built.
Boosties?
I need a couple of
You're wearing boosties now? This seems a little... I mean, dude, you do you.
I mean, you know.
Oh, okay, Steve. Well, feel free to put it up. It's coming up on the screen, so feel free to type your announcement at any point. So we're waiting with bated breath.
So if that was me.
And then we will read it for the audio audience.
How's about yous?
Wow. Dude. Okay, so I started the new gig. Things are going good there. Yes, as you guys know, we took 2 weeks off, which was a good idea because I needed to. We really got our batteries recharged, but then, I was really excited about playing last week. Mm-hmm. Very excited about playing Commander Craft last week when my eldest son decided that, on his way to pick up Christmas gifts, it would be a good day on Wednesday to, hit another car. So,
oops. Hey, wait, don't you have a car crash sound?
Oh, gosh, here we go. Oh, Steve is going nuts. Okay, so hold on here. Let me get the right sound effect for this, because this is...
And now, breaking news.
Whoa!
Wow.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we do have a great announcement here. It's breaking news. This is exclusive to the Plains Talkers podcast. Steve has just put up in the chat, so if you're not watching the video and you're listening to the podcast, none of this will matter to you right now, but for those of you watching at home, you've already gotten the announcement that Steve Kerwin, who is the owner of Kerwin's Game Store, our sponsor, they've been our sponsor for now a year, he is saying, as a Plains Talker exclusive scoop, it's not officially announced yet, but Catskill is now a WPN premium location. And that is exquisite. That is awesome. Well deserved and well earned. And to be quite honest, I'm surprised, if only because I thought you already were. That's how great this store is. So the fact that you guys have hit that, congratulations. That's amazing. That's awesome. Again, if you haven't been to Kerwin's Game Store before, you guys got to go. It's definitely worthwhile. KGSonline.com. They have a ton of everything. I've ordered a ton of cards from there. In fact, my wife is talking about trying to hire somebody to come in and put something on the firewall so that I can no longer access that site. but I'm sorry. When you're playing Commander, man, you need the cards, man.
Yeah, I have.
Look at that. My wife even said a congratulations. Wait, my wife is listening.
Yeah, you're a dead man.
Well,
again, how many times do you have to die the same death before you finally learn your lesson?
So, yes, Steve, congratulations. Seriously,
that is
amazing news. We are very excited for you guys. You're well deserved. Congratulations. And, of course, this means we get all the good stuff, right? So I'm going to say that we...
Wow.
We're the first people, non-staff people to know. Steve, I'm gonna lay this out there right now. I mean, you come alongside the show, you kind of sponsor us, and now a year later, you're a WPN member. I think it's us, Aramis.
It's like not to take.
Yeah, not to pat ourselves on the back here, we might have to renegotiate our contract.
Pull the muscle, pat myself on the back. That I knew that was gonna happen.
No, seriously, they are an amazing store. We are so blessed to have them alongside us because, wow, we need them way more than they need us. Oh, look at this. He saved it for our cast. Dude, that's awesome. Amazing, Steve.
Honored, man, honored. Big time.
Yes, it's very a great much.
Store. You know, we plug them all the time, but it's seriously having personal, a lot of, you know, done a lot of business there personally. Friendly, knowledgeable staff. Oh, like just like in our open, clean, open areas. It's a beautiful, beautiful store, so...
Legit, I'm going to just lay this out here right now, okay? I no longer work in Glenmont, okay? So I no longer work only 30 miles away. I still go to this store. It is about a 90-mile trek to go to this store. I go to this store. Like, this is my quote-unquote local game store. So, I can't recommend it enough. If that's not a seal of approval, I don't know what is. In fact, on my way to New Jersey 2 weeks ago, they were my last stop before I left the area because they had my elf deck stuff, which, you know, did so much for my elf deck. We won't discuss that, though. Steve, thank you for that, really. That's thanks for doing that. We couldn't ask for a better partner on this show, guys. Seriously. I mean, don't get me wrong. If you want to come alongside the show, we'll find another thing. You're more than welcome to sponsor my right lens in my glasses right here. This, you know, I'll put a green screen right there. No. But...
It's like Google Glass.
Yes.
Not.
Yes, Mama Shay. The store is open for indoor shopping, limited. Like, they're going to keep you in there about 5, 10, 15 minutes. You know, and then they shoot you out. But I mean, they're
which
very
is hard
much...
because it takes about that long to stop drooling.
Yeah, pretty much. Next thing I need to buy is a Mana Crypt. So, yes. Well, Mama Shay, if you guys take a trip, we want to see you. So, in regards to what's been happening the last 2 weeks, other than Christmas, it's like I said, and you know, Nicholas is okay. Everything's fine. I mean, the car could be totaled. His dad's a little bit more. Shook up than we are because it was his car, but you know, other than that, I mean, the holiday was pretty good. I got a new Apple Watch. I got the SE, man. This thing is, you know, I had the 3, but I think I know why I got the SE is because I made a promise to the daughter that if I got the new Apple Watch, she could have the old one. So now she has an Apple Watch 3. I'm starting to see a pattern here. Like, she makes sure I get the good stuff so that she gets the hand-me-downs. And yet she has the way better Mac than me. But for the most part, it was pretty good. My birthday was all right. 47. It is what it is.
Happy belated. You know,
thank you, sir. Thank you. Yeah, I'll expect my gift in the mail.
Well, considering you still owe me a boosty, so it kind
of... Oh, shut the heck. Oh, dude, we do need to go and get boosters at one point. But I started my new gig, and they've immediately sent me to work from home this week until the 6th. You know, just stuff right there. Because I'm actually working in Albany County, or I'm working in the jails. So they were like, you know what? It's pretty dead. Just go work from home for a couple of weeks.
Nothing wrong with that.
So I'm going to work from home here until the 6th, and then I go back. But
nothing wrong with that.
Which
at
is
all.
Great. I mean, I'm like, all right, so let me get this straight. I can Donald Duck it the whole day, and nobody's going to be upset. So there's an image for you that will stick with you for the rest of the show. That, in fact, I'm Donald Ducking it right now.
Yeah,
so,
I'm not old enough to get the reference, so yeah.
Think about what Donald Duck wears.
Yep, not old enough to get the reference.
You don't know who Donald Duck is?
I'm not that old.
Are you kidding me right now?
I'm messing with you, man.
Oh, okay.
Because you said 47. Oh, and
I would be remiss if I didn't show the shirt my daughter got me, so.
Yeah, you know. Nice. Mine's not magic related, but I like it anyway. My sister-in-law got it for me.
And apparently my wife just got the Donald Duck jokes. So, yes.
It was either that or the fact that I was calling you old.
I thought he was serious. He didn't know what Donald Duck was.
We all thought he was serious. I don't think he does. I think he just Googled it.
I know who Donald Duck is.
Sure you do.
I do.
That's going to be a thing from now on. So we've got a pretty full show tonight. We're going to continue on with our year in review. Again, thank you for letting us take 2 weeks off. Now, what I did do was, Aramis, I staggered the release of the last episode.
Right.
So that we wouldn't have three weeks without an episode. I staggered it I released it last week.
Yes.
Or the week before last, I should say. So that, you know, we had basically 2 weeks off. So... we have got quite a few things coming up. So tonight we're going to discuss the year in review. We're going to go for part two. This is going to be dealing, instead of releases, we're going to be dealing with news, you know, things of that nature, you know, both standard and just magic in general. Combat, if there's time, we're going to talk about, is there too much product? Then we're going to get into main two. We're going to bypass the state of standard because the state of standard is as state as it ever was. So we're going to really just mainly talk about some previews that have come out, the officials. Now, we're not going to get into spoilers. We're not going to get into leaks. You know, we don't do that. But Wizards themselves have released a few previews. So we'll go ahead and go into there.
We'll talk about the real stuff.
Yes. So, Anthony, what is your good news, man? You got overshadowed, by the way. Feel free to put it in.
He's up there. He'd already posted it saying that he is available for this Wednesday so far.
Okay.
He's not sure if it's every week. And then...
Oh, so he's got his new gig.
Yep. And then his love got him the equipment commander deck for Commander Legends.
Interesting.
So that means his one night deck got some new toys. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Sunforger.
I got a couple of booster packs. Got nothing really major in them. I mean, again, we've kind of opened everything we're going to open. I need to pre-order a collector booster, though, for Kaldheim. So.
Yeah, I didn't pre-order collector boosters. I did pre-order a set booster box, though.
That's what I mean, set booster. Yeah. I'm not sure if I'll do collector or not. I mean, the collector boosters have always, you know, we do well.
If there's expeditions in these...
Hey. Kerwin's is a WPN, man. Now, if you want to provide us collector boosters to open on air.
But we keep the card. Is he still in the chat?
See what I did there? I'm like, hey, you're come on now. No, I'm just
hook us up, Steve.
All righty. So let's get into it because we got a pack show. Let's hit the main.
Main phase.
All right. Welcome to main phase. So year in review part two, 2020. Wow. This year, let's be honest, like
2020 has been a long decade.
Yeah. Like Beethoven's symphonies, you know, you want to go with the odd numbers. You know, there's always like a line of demarcation. Star Wars movies, it was always, you know, pre-Jedi. I'm trying to think about things that went bad. So, Happy Days before Fonzie jumped the shark. Literally, we had a jump the shark year. So we kind of broke the news down this year from pre-COVID And then Fonzie jumps the shark.
The before
times. And we go to post-COVID. So
post-apocalypse.
Yes. So basically, so let's say we're the Walking Dead pre-Negan and then post-Negan.
Yeah, that works.
Because Walking Dead kind of sucks now. Like, I'm not going to lie.
And that even ties into some of this year anyway, so there you go.
Yeah, it's almost unwatchable. So
I still enjoy it.
Yeah, I didn't even put on there Secret Lairs. Put that in wherever you think we should put it.
All right, everywhere, because that's where they were.
No shit. All right, so the news of this year. All right, so pre-COVID, it's so weird because it seems like 2 years ago. But, I mean, pre-COVID, we were looking at a ton of bannings. Like, it was wall-to-wall, week-to-week bannings almost at some point. Mm-hmm. Not just in Standard now. I mean, we're a Standard podcast, but, I mean, Oko was banned. That stupid Modern car from Modern Horizons.
Hogak?
Hogak,
was that 2020? Ban. Are you sure that was 2020? That's the problem with this year. It's so hard to remember. Like, do you remember that Mystery Boosters came out this year?
Yes, and that was actually something really good that came out of this year, and I was kind of happy with it. All right, let's take a look. Hogak banning. Okay, it was 2019. You have it.
It feels like 2020, though. It feels like... Because 2019 sort of bled into 2020 a little bit, but yeah, it was... Because Oko was banned towards the end of 2019 as well.
No, Oko was early 2020, I thought.
No, I don't think so. There was so many things that were banned. Like, you know, Growth Spiral behind me, that got banned. Teferi got banned.
Well, yeah, I mean, that all got... Oh, yeah, you're right, November 18th.
Yeah, see, it's hard to tell.
So January was... Hold on. No, Oko Thief... Oh, they banned Oko in Modern in January.
Yeah.
So Oko was still being Oko.
Yeah.
From... Yeah, the bannings, when I say the bannings, I mean, I'm not talking just Standard, but I mean, it was ridiculous. Basically, what happened was, I think somebody took away Mark Rosewater's medication, and so he just started going crazy. Hello, my darling wife, by the way, as well. Hello, Pam. Not Pam's my wife. My wife's Wendy, but...
Wow.
You said hello. I felt obligated to retort.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So. Yeah, the bannings this year. And I got to be honest with you, we'll get into this in Maine too, but I'm a little worried about Kaldheim.
Yeah, but you know what? The bannings this year, I think the best way to describe them was exhausting.
What the hell?
Oh. And there's
and
where
there's
the
your delay, folks.
Yeah, it's about 15, 30 seconds. So yeah, the bannings were exhausting. Because it felt like every couple of weeks, something was breaking some format somewhere, and it needed to be fixed right away, and the only way to do it was with a ban. I mean, the companions, it wasn't a ban, but it was like a shadow ban with the nerf that they got, right? Because, my God, were they busted and half broken.
Oh, they were busted out loud.
And it still didn't stop them completely, because Loris and Yorion still see a bunch of play.
Right.
And...
It's pretty bad. Fires of Invention, Agents of Treachery.
Agent of Treachery, yeah. Yeah. You know, all the stuff that was banned
before
rotation.
Well, that's because when Ikoria came out, that deck with the Planeswalker was obnoxious.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculously obnoxious.
Luka Yorion, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a crazy deck. I mean, it was the problem they had in Standard was that the cards that they pushed that would be good in other formats were so good in Standard that you had no choice but to play them, and there was no effective strategy to get rid of them. The answers weren't there, and they still really aren't there if you think about it. It's only going to take one more crazy card to break this format again, because right now it's not bad. Right now it's stable. There's nothing that's really running away with anything.
I'm going to go the other way. I think it's bad. It's bad in another way.
Well,
as a Standard content creator...
It's
we have a bitch of a time
trying
to find something to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, it's
boring.
Just talking from that angle
yes.
of the constant bannings and where the format is now, as far as like health of the format, I'm not talking diversity and I'm not talking fun to play.
I'll give you that.
But just the fact that, you know, things are stable, which can and hasn't turned out to be a bad thing because it's too stable. but there's nothing that's really head and shoulders above everything else. It's sort of homogenized right now. It would have been a good thing if there was a new set coming in right away, but we've had to wait a while because this latest round of bannings was literally on release of Zendikar. Because, right. You know, Omnath was just, I think, one of the biggest mistakes they've ever made. I was reading
Omnath
an article.
Was an obvious commander card.
Yeah,
that
I was reading.
Never
was,
thought would be seeing play.
Yeah, I was reading an article. I have to remember who it was from. I think it was on Channel Fireball. And they were listing.
You pay for that?
No, it was one of the free ones, but it was listing like.
You gotta pay for Rhystic Study on Channel Fireball?
Hell no. It was listing like the 10 most powerful cards in Standard this year. And the top three were Uro, Omnath, and Luris. And they basically said these are the three most powerful creatures ever printed. And I can remember a time. You go back into the mid-90s, remember when Morphling first came out, and people were like, holy crap, this card's incredible. It was called Superman, because it did everything.
Yeah.
Now, it's totally jank. It's terrible.
Shivan Dragon used to be like, oh shit!
Yeah, now it's like 6 mana 5/5 that doesn't do anything when it comes into play? Garbage. I think if they printed Shivan Dragon today, he would cost 3, he would deal 4 damage to a creature, and he would destroy a land. So it's amazing how far creatures have come. The problem is that the answers haven't caught up with them.
Right.
All the good answers have already been printed. They just won't reprint them, like Mana Leap,
right.
Like
and
Lightning Bolt, like Counterspell.
Well, they did. They printed Uro, and everybody's pissed.
Well, Uro's not
Uro
an answer.
Is
Uro's
kind
a
of
threat.
It's an answer and a threat, really. If you think about it, Uro's kind of like the Swiss Army knife of Planeswalkers. You're like, what? I can wipe the board? Okay. You know, it's
well. No, that's Omnath.
Yeah, I know. Omnath is getting... I mean, Omnath getting banned was the right thing. You know, the fact is this. Since War of the Spark, they've been inching upward and upward incrementally, slowly. The problem was, in a way, we're kind of like the literal lobster in the pot.
Hmm.
If you take a lobster and throw it in a pot of boiling water, it's going to scream out loud. You're going to know you're cooking a lobster. But if you put a lobster in a pot of lukewarm water and slowly raise the temperature, they will never make a peep and they will just die.
I don't remember hearing that analogy with a frog, but yeah, I get you.
It's a frog, something like that. So the fact is that, you know, it's kind of like that. It's where for a while there, they were just kind of tick, 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 tick. And then it was almost like Throne of Eldraine. They were like, oh, who the hell has time for this?
You know, the microwave.
It's ridiculous to this point. And I don't know if the answer is the rotation in September, because what do we get? In September we'll keep what? Zendikar Rising and Forward.
Yeah.
So
yeah, well, September's 9 months away, and if you think about it. The top
you gotta
10
figure
cards,
the Potter set's gonna get ridiculous.
Well, the top 10
figure.
Cards in Eldraine, I think 6 of them have been banned, and the other 4 are the most played cards.
Yeah.
So,
like, Adventures is a real mechanic, and it's a good mechanic, and mm-hmm. I don't mind mechanics that warp. All right? Like, if you think about it, there was a point where cycling was a mechanic that warped, where, kickers... kind of warped
landfall
things.
When Omnath was running around.
Yeah, landfall. Like, Magic is famous for its mechanics that do crazy shit in Standard. I'm there, by the way. Explicit to like, haha. But it's kind of, like I said, it's like somebody took Mark Rosewater's medication away. And all of a sudden, like, his ADD kicked in, and he's like, don't you want to do this? It's like, yes, but Jesus, do we have to do it all today? Like, if they had taken the last year of releases and spread it out over maybe 2 or 3 years, and maybe this is a result of the blocks going away, maybe we need to revisit block formatting, in that it wasn't so bad when Hours of Devastation and Amonkhet were together, because imagine if you took the best cards from Amonkhet and, well, you did. We had it in Historic, and things went sideways for a bit.
Right.
Like, you know, and the same with Kaladesh and Aether, like, doing the block thing seemed to help kind of spread things over, we would have seen two releases of Adventures. We would have seen two releases of, you know, perhaps an Oko Planeswalker in the second set. I think that's part of their problem, is that they're kind of... I think they probably were, when they were designing it, maybe like, okay, well, this is still too powerful. We'll put this in the second block set. But now they're like, well, we're only going to be an Eldraine for one set. Shit, put it in.
Yeah, I like what I like what Steve said, where he says he misses the three set blocks. I miss those too. Like, I remember the days of, you know, the story, you know, you go Invasion, Plane Shift, Apocalypse, and there's an overarching theme between all three sets that they can spread out, but then each set has its own little gimmick. You know what I mean? Like, because Invasion was about coalition stuff. Plane Shift was about gating and getting stuff, you know, bouncing things back for a cheaper creature. I remember there was a Kabu that was like a 3/4 for two mana, but you had to bounce a red or green creature. And then in Apocalypse, the theme was enemy colors and the synergies that was supposed to work between these colors that don't normally work together. But it also allowed them to have the five-color mechanic go across all three sets.
It also gave better support to mechanics. He just said the same thing. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I think if they ever like ask us, which they won't because they don't know we exist, that's what they should do, is that they should go back to blocks. What even if it's just two blocks for a while, two sets to a block.
Well, I mean,
know,
I like
blocks.
I like the idea of that they're doing with long overarching stories, like they did with the Gatewatch and everything else, starting all the way back with
that
Zendikar
went a little too
through.
Long.
It went long, but I mean, like if they're gonna do something like that. They can still visit three different planes in a year. You know, they can do Kaldheim, Strixhaven, and going back to Innistrad. Maybe have a mechanic or a gimmick that really does go across all three blocks and have bits and pieces in each set that can support it.
Well, and here's the thing. I think you and I are ahead of the game in that I think they are going back to blocks. I think they have understood. Now that I think about it, because you said Innistrad, it made me think of it. They have two Innistrad blocks back-to-back this year. So
yeah, but
two Innistrad sets.
It's two sets. I don't know if I'd really call that a block. I'm not even really sure how they're doing it. I mean, are they releasing both of these sets at the same time?
That's a good question, because they used to do, blocks used to be, like I said, the two set blocks was like Kaladesh and Aether Revolt or Oath of the Return to Zendikar, Oath of the Gatewatch, or you know, so. If they're doing two at the same time, what the hell is... Oh, my God. That is the biggest mistake you will ever make. You split your... Wait, does that mean we get two boxes?
I don't know. I don't know if it means, like...
wait. From you and me, though. Like, does the Widow box go for two boxes? Like, how does this work?
I don't know how that works. I know that, like, maybe they're doing something where, like, there's the main set and then, like, a shadow set where, like, you get, like, special cards from the other... I don't know. I mean, I know Pokemon...
Well, they're saying, like, one is, like, vampires and one is, like, wolves or something.
Yeah.
I
mean, I'm curious. I'm curious to see how they're going to make it work. I mean, I obviously they're trying something innovative. I mean, the last time they did that was Companions, and we all know how that worked. But... I don't know. I'm hopeful, cautiously optimistic. I have no idea what they're doing, and I'm really curious to find out when we get more information on that set later in the year.
I swear, I'm giving up Magic though if the vampires sparkle.
Yeah,
I'm out. I'm out. You lose me. I'm done.
I'll take your stuff.
I ain't playing no Twilight vampire I'm out.
I'll take your stuff. tell Wendy that she gets to give me your cards if you quit.
Yeah, no, she already knows that if anything happens to me, my cards go into the incinerator with me. So I mean that's kind of it. Like, the power level of Standard kind of, it's fluctuated. We're now back again. The reversal of what they've done with Standard is that we're bored. I mean, if you listen to any podcast, MTG Goldfish, Arena Talk, any of these other things, they're all saying the same thing. Standard right now is boring. Now, I think Standard is boring because it was so pendulum crazy, nutty, like, power level that our barometers are off.
Yeah, we're not, like, used to stability.
Yeah, and so if it was this stable 2 years ago, we'd be like, this is the best Standard in a long time. But now, and I think part of this also has to do with the fact that we don't have any organized play, which is kind of where we want to get into, is post-COVID. Yeah. The big thing about post-COVID, and we're going to kind of pivot to that, is, you know, we'll go a little out of order here, but the ending of organized or even in-person Friday Night Magic play.
And any in-person tournaments.
Yeah.
I think I know where you're going to go with this, and I think that's also part of the reason why Standard feels so stale, and really tournament play in general feels so stale, because if you think about it, the only big tournaments they can have that they want to have an arena, because they want to do esports thing. All you can do on arena is Standard and Historic. And a lot of the times people are like, Historic, what the hell is Historic? So they do Standard, and it's the same format. And there's no, you know, there's no Modern, there's no Pioneer, there's no Legacy.
And they're not even doing...
Legacy and Vintage really don't exist anymore. So,
I don't understand why they aren't doing like sealed or drafting though. Like won't even do that.
Yeah, like they don't have the client set up somehow to do these tournaments. I mean, they can't.
Well, I mean,
set up...
what they'd have to do is what we would do is like you save your deck and then you challenge.
Yeah,
each other,
I mean, and they
no
can be. I think that can be done because they kind of did something similar to that, but it's hard. They would have to set it up where, because the last time they did something like that, they drafted in person and input the data into Arena.
Right.
There must not be a lever or a button they can push that makes it so that you can set up a custom pod to draft. They must not have that capability in Arena. Otherwise,
The card pool can go sideways in that, you know, how do you have your pod? How do you make sure that you don't
eight
Teferis running around?
It can be done. I mean, it's not hard to say, you know, there's only 8 players in the server pool, so they automatically get queued in together, so that's your draft pod. But they must not have the capabilities to do that on a reliable basis to be able to pull that off on Arena, and if they can ever figure that out, I would watch that in a friggin' heartbeat.
Well, I don't know. Here's the thing. I wouldn't. I understand the irony and the maybe hypocrisy in that, you know, I stream on Twitch. I play Minecraft or I play Arena on Twitch. I don't really... enjoy, and I think I'm not alone at this. I think being a middle-aged person, I will watch Magic card like table play all day during a tournament. Like it'll be on in the background. I'll watch it. I'm there. I'm invested. I'm game. There is a disconnect somewhere in my brain watching Arena.
I can understand that.
I can see them, but you can't. You can kind of see. At least they've started showing their faces. Like they make them have a webcam now. That was part of it. I'm like, you can't even see the player. How do I know it's, you know, really Reed Duke? It could be Reed Duke's son. He's like, dude, I gotta pee. Click these buttons. You know.
No, I can understand the disconnect. I feel it too.
And I think that that's a problem. I think that that's something. The problem is, I think Hasbro/WotC is happy. Like they're happy with Arena.
Well, don't forget
happy
too
with the live.
Don't forget too the other problem is they actually have no alternative right now.
Sure.
They simply cannot have players tours. They cannot have GPs. They cannot have Star City Game, you know, SCG Opens. It's just impossible right now. I think that if the option was there for pay-per-play would still be happening. I think that goes without saying.
But now I wonder if it'll come back.
That's going to be the $20,000 question. When this pandemic is over, does paper play come back? I'm going to be fairly confident in saying yes, but I will say I don't think it'll happen as often as it used to.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say yes as a novelty. Hey, you know, look at this. We're doing a paper tournament. And the only way it'll really come back is, when it comes back, when they have a paper tournament announced, I guarantee you, we and probably a whole bunch of other podcasts, we are going to encourage you to watch it. We're going to encourage you to put it on in the background. We're going to encourage you to put it on your cell phone, your iPad, your MacBook, and your PC. Give them 4 views. Why? Because I think if the numbers go through the roof, they will be like, oh, shit, there's something here.
Well,
you know,
here's what's going to end up happening, and I already know this is how it's going to work. We know Pioneer is eventually going to be on Arena.
Yes.
Probably by the end of the year. Not this year, but end of next year.
No, Pioneer, I'm going to say 2021. Oh,
that's what I mean, the end of next year, because we're still technically in 2020. Mm-hmm. By the end of 2021, Pioneer will by and large be on Arena. by the end of 2021, it's possible but not likely we may be able to have in-person tournaments. I'm thinking that's more 2022, like middle 2022. When in-person tournaments return, if the format's not Modern, Legacy, or Vintage, it will be on Arena. So the only in-paper tournaments you will see will be Modern, Legacy, and Vintage. You already know they don't give two craps about Legacy and Vintage. So unless it's Modern, that's the only paper tournament you'll see.
Will they do a an EDH tournament?
No. Because Mark Rosewater doesn't like EDH.
Really?
He does not like EDH. He doesn't like the politics involved with.
But it's the year of Commander, yeah.
Don't do that.
I know. I can't help it. He's got the geek lisp, and it's funny to me. It's like, I listen to his podcast, and it's like, dude, you shouldn't have so many S's in your words.
So he likes Two-Headed Giant. He likes Emperor. He likes those multiplayer formats where it's like players on a team against players on a team.
God damn.
He likes those multiplayer formats. He doesn't like multiplayer formats where politics can get involved. He thinks that takes away from the essence of the game, which I frankly disagree with, because I think that's Magic
does.
At its core. But
right.
That's fine. I respect his opinion. I can understand where it's coming from. They will never do competitive EDH. I will put money on that. They will never do competitive EDH as a tournament. Broadcast on Twitch for player points and determining who goes to a world championship. That will not happen.
I guess you're right, yeah. Now, it's not DCI. You brought it up, so it's kind of in a different spot on our list, but you know, as conversation goes, we're going to go there. So, part of what I have in here on our little show note here, I mentioned that because of the loss of in-person play, there's been a major impact on Modern for some extent, but especially Pioneer. Like, there are many out there that are saying Pioneer is actually it's Frontier.
It's any format that can't be played on Arena.
Right. Like, because Magic Online sees some play. But again, I think because they have never invested in the interface, they've never invested in, you know, and I don't think they like the fact that we can trade. I think that is a craw in their hat. Like,
well,
they are just angry because they get nothing from it.
Well, because that program was built in a different time, don't forget.
Oh, yeah.
That program was built before the time of microtransactions, before the time of phone apps. I mean, there were no smartphones when Magic Online came out.
Right.
That tells you how old the program is. They also haven't updated the interface, I think, since smartphones came out, which was, what, 13 years ago. but they have, but, you know, that's besides the point. But Magic Online is a dinosaur in regards to video game play for a TCG. And
yeah, it's where people go to play Modern and Pioneer.
It's a Magic simulator. It's the most accurate simulator that you could get for Magic the Gathering, because it knows all of the rules, it knows all of the interactions, minus the perpetually bugged cards. And the reason they haven't invested a bunch of money into it is because they know they can make a lot more money on Arena, because it's flashier, because it's newer, because it theoretically can end up on mobile, which is supposed to be happening at some point soon. You know, you can, I mean, yeah. Good luck putting Magic Online on a tablet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It just don't.
And it's also, you know, it's a lot more visually appealing to a lot of people to see a game on Magic on Arena than it is to see a game on Magic Online, because there's no sound effects, there's no graphics, there's no flashiness, no animations, you know, which I like Magic Online. I like watching content on Magic Online. Like when Kenji Igashira streams Vintage Cube, I'm all over that because I love that stuff. Magic Arena, same thing. I like watching it, but it's for a different reason. But if it's going to be for a major tournament, you're never going to broadcast that on Twitch because people aren't going to be interested.
Right. I don't disagree. So, yeah, I mean, and Steve's right. He's saying the smartest move they can do is get four-player Commander or Brawl on Arena.
I don't ever see that happen.
There isn't anybody who disagrees.
I would love to see it. I don't think it happens. I don't think that.
I think it'll happen at some point. I think it has to happen.
I don't think they have the program set up to be able to handle it.
On phones, especially, it would be a real problem.
Yeah, but I don't ever see that happening. As much as I would love to see it, Commander on Arena. Please. Yes, I would.
Well, I mean, that's
God.
Just it. This is the COVID has brought us here to where, I mean, we are consuming Magic in different ways now. We are playing Magic in different ways. Obviously, there's Arena. Their purchase and the integration of Spell Table, which if you don't know what Spell Table is, Spell Table is basically these guys got together at the start of this pandemic and said, hey, we want to make it so that you could use your webcam. We'll keep score. We'll keep track of your commander damage. You point a webcam at your cards. Your other friends can see it. Y'all have microphones. You can play online and be socially distant. So Wizards came in and bought it probably for $75 and now are making like a mint off of it.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? Hey, and kudos to the guys who made the program.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they got a
pay. I think they got paid pretty well.
Oh, yeah, so do I. Like, here's the thing. I love it. I mean, it's how we do Playcast on Wednesday nights. It's how Commander Craft got started, which they're getting their podcast ready to go. Steve will probably put up here when their first episode is. So it's been interesting to see how the rise of Arena and other means of playing have kind of become how we have to do it now. I mean, it's great to see that we've been flexible enough to do that because, I mean, without Arena, without Spell Table. So what? Whoa, Steve's got Rona?
Yeah, I told you that. You must have had me muted.
Oh.
We'll talk about
it. Well, get well, dude. Are you not playing Wednesday then? Because I don't want a computer virus. So he'll let us know. So the rise of... Oh, he's going to be playing. Wonderful. So excited. Can't wait. All right. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not salty at all. Oh, wait. His is like the championship deck right now, isn't it?
Yeah, the Thrasios deck.
Oh, dear Lord.
You guys had to beat Sakama. That's all, whatever.
We did have to beat Sakama. So, yeah, you're going to play Jail, right? I'm okay with you playing Jail.
I don't have
week.
The Jail deck put together.
God damn it.
I have new decks.
Yes. Well, so the rise of Arena and other means of playing have kind of led us to this year of Commander.
Yeah.
And I, you know, that was our other big news this year. It came out early in 2020. The roadmap for Commander, that they were going to move away from just the one drop. They were going to do one big drop, and then they were going to sprinkle little other drops. And I'm not sure how I feel about it.
I think it definitely exposed people to Commander that might not have otherwise been interested in it, because I think the best move that they made was having the Commander pre-constructed decks for Zendikar Rising and having them at $20 to replace the Planeswalker decks. That was an absolute coup. That was a great, affordable way to get two playable Commander decks for less than the cost of one of the old ones that was introduced at the beginning of the year in Ikoria, where they had those five.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. What I'm talking about is that. I mean, we can't compare like the little piddly decks that they've put out instead of Planeswalker decks, which, again, fucking yes.
Those are awesome.
Okay. Yeah, it's such a better way.
I'll never pay $45 for a Commander deck again.
No, I will. I will, because I'll tell you why.
They shouldn't have to charge that now, because they have already shown they can do playable quality decks for $20.
Listen, the playable quality is... I don't know that I'd go that far.
Anawan was very good out of the box.
Anawan was very good out of the box, but this last set has been horrible out of the box.
That was designed before the Zendikar Rising ones.
Mm-hmm. I feel
even though
they
were released second.
Right. I feel that there was a quality shift between the Ikoria. I think the mistake they made with Ikoria was keeping it in Ikoria. Like, if you're going to do a $45 five drop, okay, and also sprinkle in Commander decks instead of the Planeswalker decks, I'm fine. But then I want that $45 drop to be something like an Atraxa. Something like... even an Omnath deck would have been something. Like, something that warps... That doesn't warp, but that adds to the landscape of Commander. The landscape of EDH. I don't believe... These decks were great support decks. The two decks that came with Commander Legends and then Zendikar Rising. Mm-hmm. Those are good support decks, and they're good out of the box. But I don't think anybody's building a Commander out of them. Do you understand what I mean?
I did.
Well, yes, you are. Okay, but I'm saying anyone of any, you know, with a good enough card base. Like, I pillaged the Landfall deck for Omnath because Omnath was a better commander.
Well, yeah, the Omnath, because Omnath is Omnath, but Anawan, there are blue-black shells that was missing a commander like that. There's not a lot of Dimir commanders that have like a mill sub theme.
Right.
So this that really slotted into an open spot for them, and there's a ton of cards going back that are really good in that archetype. I think that the Ikoria decks, they did add a lot of good stuff to Commander. Some of it was a little bit too obnoxious, like the Fierce Guardianship and having $45 cards in a Commander deck kind of sucks.
Calamax
was really good. yes, the pre-constructed decks that came up for Commander Legends were overall pretty bad. I stripped them for parts, and I, yes. I'm hoping to finish a Boros themed deck with some of the pieces from that at some point. But overall,
Steve, don't forget that the
Commander Legends precons were designed before the Zendikar Rising ones.
True.
So they already had some feedback before they did the Zendikar Rising precons. Even though the Commander Legends ones were released second, don't forget that Commander Legends was also delayed in its release.
And the leaks of the Kaldheim ones seem to be of a level of ZR. And if that's the case, then for the year in review 2021, I will eat these words and eat my hat. But I'm saying that in 2020, okay, you had Calamax, like, if they had had Calamax and four other commanders that were not limited to Ikoria and could have done something else, like, they felt like they had to have the cycling. They felt like they had to have the mutate. They felt like they had, they wanted to use the mechanics that were in Ikoria. That was the problem for me. If you're going to do a five drop, and I think, again, I think you should. I think there is a level to that. It's like one big set for the year of Commander. And then you sprinkle in other things that kind of can help you. I'm okay with a five drop for $45. Sure. Okay, am I going to buy every pack? No. Yes. But, yes, I'm going to. But I think that there is value in that because I think it lets the... It also, because if you're sprinkling Kaldheim with Kaldheim, you're going to stick kind of Kaldheim-ish. When they go to Strixhaven, it's going to stick kind of Strixhaven-ish. Like, I want that set too that gives me more landfall, gives me more that type of stuff, like some of the classic mechanics that we don't get anymore. And yes, I would love it if they were like, in every box there's a random fetch land. It may not fit your deck, but that would be amazing. Not a fetch land, or just like, we're gonna have fetch lands in there as like a lottery ticket.
Yeah, I think what it showed though with the pre-constructed decks was their evolution in thinking about what a pre-constructed deck should be.
Yeah.
Because the Ikoria ones came out first; they were $45 a piece. Then we had Zendikar Rising come out; those were $20 each, and they were good for $20 decks. They were good
for $40 decks.
Yeah. So
$35.
And now that we've seen them in Zendikar Rising and Commander Legends, I don't think they have a justification for doing another Commander Precon at 45 when they've shown they can do quality decks at 20. And I think as a consumer, I don't think you should be willing to pay $45 when you know quality can be done for 20.
So are you saying I should grab a $45 Ikoria, one of my Ikorias, put it back together, and you'll play one of your precons and see how they do? Because that's an interesting question, because I would submit that it seems to me that the quality level of the $40 ones was better than the $20 ones.
I would agree with that to a certain extent, but I'm not saying that the $45 decks are tier one and the $20 decks are garbage. I'm saying the Commander Legends was garbage. Like I said, the Commander Legends ones were designed first, so keep that in mind.
Right, I know.
So they learned while they were doing it, because they were like, okay, what can we put in a $20 deck? Then they did whatever they were doing for research, and they're like, these aren't that great. Let's try again. That's when the Zendikar Rising ones came out. I have every reason to believe the Kaldheim ones are going to be fantastic.
That's what I'm thinking too.
Yeah.
And again, I said I could be chewing these words in 21.
The Commander Legend precons, I'm not even going to count those because those were bad. Zendikar Rising, I think they could stand up pretty well to an Ikoria precon. I don't know if they would win, but I know they would be competitive. And that's really all that matters in Commander is being competitive, because it's not about winning as much.
And And Steve's right about one thing. For $20, these are much better bang for your buck than the $40. There is more of a return on your investment for the $20 than the $40.
I will gladly pay $20 for a subpar deck and not have to worry about what I'm going to do with the giant oversized curled foil card that has no other use.
I just use it for, like, you know, to put my commander on. I turn it upside down. But yeah, I get your point. So, and that kind of leads me to our next thing that's going to bring us into combat after this is that, you know, this year with the Commander Legends, with the four standard sets, with and then two, I guess, supplemental or one supplement, no, two supplemental. They had Jumpstart.
There was Jumpstart, Mystery Boosters, Commander, Double Masters, Commander Legends. There was Ikoria,
and then 1,000 Secret Lairs.
38 Secret Lairs?
33, I thought it was.
33?
Yeah.
No, 38, because of this last drop.
Oh.
That last five drop was 38 Secret Lairs, Mystery Boosters, Jumpstart, Ikoria, Zendikar, Core Set. God, what was the other one? I'm missing one. Theros. Theros was 2020. Yeah. Don't forget about Theros.
No, that's just I was saying the four standard sets, and then is there too much product? I mean, this was a year where there was more product than we've ever had.
Yes. Flat out, yes. I mean, now this is curmudgeon-y old me talking, but I remember back in my day when it was the four sets in the year, that was it.
I will say this. Let's do it.
Yeah.
On one hand, I can agree. On the other hand, I don't. I do wish that I don't know if there's too much product or too much variation on the product. In that, when Kaladesh came out, when Amonkhet came out, they had the special cards in the booster sets. All you had to do was buy a box.
Oh, the masterpiece.
And you might pull an expedition. You might pull, you know, the special ugly Amonkhet cards. You
the
might
indications,
pull,
the inventions, yeah.
Like, now what they've done is they've taken those out of the main boosters and put them into a different tier booster, whether it's Collector, which is up here, or whether it's the set booster. Now, I'm a fan of the set booster.
Yes,
I love the set boosters. I want to talk to Steve about, you know, ours being coming set boosters, like our giveaway and stuff, because I think there's more value in that. I feel that set boosters are, but it's one thing, but with the collector boosters being the only way that in some ways you could get you could be assured to get yourself one of the fetch lands or one of the expedition lands that they were, whatever they were calling them for
they were either a box topper or you had to get collector boosters.
Yeah. Like that to me is a problem. That's where I have a problem. I have a problem with what they did with Double Masters and making you pay $100 for a pack.
No, thank you.
Like, I get it. I get the idea that you want to appeal to whales. The problem is, and I understand what they haven't said, and I've thought about this the last couple of weeks. What Wizards did not say is that, you know, here's the thing. There's always been product for whales because whales are going to go buy a fetch land off of a store, giving it to a local game shop. Wizards sees none of that. So by doing the collector boosters, by doing the set, you know, by doing the secret lairs, the collector boosters, all that, Wizards is taking that money in-house. I understand it. I get it from a business sense. It's still shitty.
Yeah. My problem, here's why I run into the problem. I think there's too many sets. And the reason that I think there's too many sets has really shown itself with Commander Legends in the quality control or lack
thereof. Oh my God, the cards are terrible.
They
pringle like it's their job.
Listen to this. I saw, I don't know how accurate this is, but it was on Reddit, so grain of salt. Somebody bought a collector booster of Commander Legends. The cards bent so hard, they burst the pack.
Okay.
They had not been opened, and they actually burst the seal.
I can't believe that.
I can believe it because there are, I have Commander Legends cards that are almost folded in half. They're so badly bent. And if you put 20 of them, if you put 20 of them in there and they're all bending the same way, that exerts a lot of force. So, but here's the thing. You've had the foils that are horribly washed out in Commander Legends. You can barely see them. Yes. I have one of them, an intangible virtue that is basically a gray piece of foiling. I can't even read it.
It's intangible.
It's literally intangible. There are, you know, cards showing up in collector boosters from other sets that we won't talk about. There's leaked cards from Kaldheim showing up in Commander Legends boosters. Now, whether or not that's viral marketing, whatever, but it's happening. There's Jumpstart cards that are horribly off-center cut. All these different sets with, like, inking that's wrong mana symbol showing up on cards. There's all these mistakes that are happening that 20 years ago would have never, ever happened because they had so much more control over their supply, over their manufacturing, over their distribution that they no longer have now that they're under Hasbro.
I can get behind some of this. I can lay some of this down at the pandemic. All right, that they were just trying to get product out the door. So
This has been happening since before the pandemic, though. This has been happening for a couple of years now. The point that I'm getting at is that I have no problem with them releasing all of the sets that they're releasing. They need to have the quality control to back it up because the Secret Lairs have had this problem since they started.
Okay.
Secret Lairs have had problems with bending foils and bending cards right out of the pack. There needs to, like, I know part of that has to do with whatever the conditions are, the cards are being made. There's a humidity level. If it's at a certain level, it won't bend. But 20 years ago, when we bought cards.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
There might have been misprints, but they were rare enough so that there was a market for them. And they're like, oh, hey, this is a misprint. This is great. You know, there was that If Biff Efreet that was supposed to be, it's a green card, but it had a blue border. You know, a mountain randomly showing up in Arabian Nights. That was rare. But this is happening now with every single set, with a whole bunch of different cards. Something is wrong with their production. Something needs to get fixed. And I have no problem with them releasing a million sets a year. I'll buy as many as I think I can that interest me. Secret Lairs give me the option of saying, it's not really for me. I don't really care. But,
right.
You know, they got to do better quality control because you don't see this stuff happening as much in other TCGs.
You're not wrong. I don't think there's too much product. I think there's too much variation. I think if they had...
There's that too, yeah.
I think if they had regular boosters and set boosters, just bail the collectors. Like, I get it. It's never going away. We've railed on this for a year and a half now. I still think collector boosters are unnecessary. I'd rather see them do set boosters.
Take some of the best elements of collector boosters and put them into the set boosters. Like make it so that it's easier to get borderless cards. Make it so it's easier to get foil cards. You don't have to make the whole pack foil. I mean, as a collector who likes foils, I'm like, hey, cool, collector boosters are great. You know, I can get a lot of foils for, you know, relatively quickly. But the idea of the set booster is really cool. Throw a couple more borderless cards in there. Throw a couple more alternate arts. Throw a couple alternate frames. You know, make it a little bit more exciting, but then not too crazy. So that way it makes it still a little bit harder to get these cards, to get these foils, because we're at a point now where foil versions and alternate frame versions of cards are worth less than the original version. Where
that
these other versions of the cards...
Kenrith was...
Yeah.
That happened with Kenrith.
Yeah, because these alternate versions of the cards are supposed to be the cards that are harder to find. They're supposed to be the cards that are worth more. Remember the days when foils used to be 2-3 times the value of the non-foil card. Now it's, a lot of times it's less.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like foils. I don't play with them. I don't, you know, I've tricked out a few decks with like foiled lands and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan of foils. I don't go crazy for the foil.
But it's good that you have the option of not having to play them.
Right.
You know, it's not an exclusive card.
Well, because you
card.
Can't play them in a tournament. You can't. You can't take them to a tournament because they have to be, because, you know, there's a different feeling, so they think you can stack your deck.
If the entire deck is double-sleeved, you can get away with it. Or if the entire deck is foil, mm-hmm. you can get away with it. But, Nexus of Fate. The only way to get that card was to buy a box or go on the secondary market. The only version of that card was foil. I guarantee you.
I had four of them.
Three of them were
in Spanish. Next Hotel Destino.
I still have my four. If they ever printed a non-foil version of that card, that would be something. They won't, because it was a huge mistake. But just saying.
So I mean, I just kind of feel like I'd like to see them dial it back. I don't think they will. I think they're going to go all in.
No, because everything sells out
this year. I think we're going to see more this year. I think there's going to be two supplemental sets. They'll be like a, because they're talking about making a Pioneer card set.
Well, there's Modern Horizons 2 coming out next year. We already know that.
Yeah, there's going to be Modern Horizons, and then they'll make like a Pioneer Horizons or something. You know what I mean? It's like...
And Modern Horizons 2 is going to sell out because fetch lines are in the booster packs.
Yep. Well, I'm going to buy some.
I'm going to try to buy some.
Depending. If they make the booster packs 25 per, not so much.
The thought process is it's going to be about the same as Modern Horizons 1, which was about $7, $8 a pack, which is what you're paying for Commander Legends. So that's not terrible. If you can find a good pre-order, I would recommend doing that. But yeah, I mean, they said the fetch lines are going to be in the booster packs regulars. Who knows if it's rare or mythic? Probably mythic.
KGSonline.com.
KGSonline.com. Once they get them in stock, if they do pre-orders for that, fire off a couple pre-orders. Use your promo code. That'll save mostly on taxes if you're in New York.
Yep.
But
so, I mean, that's kind of where we're at. We're at an hour now, so let's get into, you know, real quick. All right, so we have a few. We're going to be really quick here. I think we're really going to do next week. We're on the air next week, right? We're not taking
another one. No, I think we're back on track next week.
All right. So, and I mean, next week I think is our 2-year anniversary, actually.
Yeah.
So we're going to do just real quick. I want to give like one or two like of the previews because I think we, you know, it's important to talk about them. They've been out. Wizards has been releasing previews this week. Mm-hmm. So this past week over the holiday. So...
You pick one.
I've got Scryfall pulled up. Why don't you pick a card, and then I'll pick a card, and then, you know, we could say we talked about that stuff.
So. All right. I will go with the Planeswalker, then.
The Planeswalker?
Yep. So the card that I'm going to be talking about is Kaya the Inexorable. So that is a legendary Planeswalker. Kaya type, obviously. Starts with 5 loyalty for 3, a white and a black.
Which one is it? Hold on. Kaya the Inexorable?
Yeah. Right. So you plus 1 on her, and it... Put a ghost form counter on up to 1 target non-token creature. It gains, when this creature dies or is put into exile, return it to its owner's hand and create a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying. The -3 is exile target non-land permanent. And the -7, her ultimate, is you get an emblem with, at the beginning of your upkeep, you may cast a legendary card from your hand, from your graveyard, or from among cards you own in exile without paying its mana cost. I like this Planeswalker. I think it's the typical 5-mana Planeswalker where it's got its plus 1 that does a thing, the -3 that does something, and then the ultimate that gives you an emblem that should either win the game or put you very far ahead. She's not the most powerful 5-mana Planeswalker out there. I mean, Teferi, Hero of Dominaria, kind of takes the cake on that one. But I really like her in like a Super Friends or heavy Legendary Tribal deck. Where you put ghost forms on something that's important. Even if they kill it, you get something to protect her with. She can nuke something that's bothering you. And if you ever get to ultimate with her, you get to, you know, you get to fire off a legendary every turn for free.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
I really like this card. I think it's going to see some play. So, or maybe not in standard, but it's going to find a home in Commander. That's for damn sure.
Well, I wish they would put it at the bottom that it could be used as a commander. Cause that, to me,
they would never. You won't ever see that in a standard legal set.
True.
Only in supplemental stuff. That. But she's very, very good. She can fit into like an Athreos deck. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Very well.
Right. Well, for me, I made it my background tonight. So, the Cerulf Realm Eater. I like this card.
It's
I
think Fenrir. This card
could. Huh?
It's Fenrir.
And I think this card is actually going to see play. I think this, you know, with the stuff we've seen so far, and again, it's very limited what we've seen. Mm-hmm. But what we've seen so far, I mean, whenever it's one colorless, a black and a green. Whenever permanent an opponent controls is put into a graveyard, put a 1/1 counter on Cerulf. At the beginning of your upkeep, if Cerulf has one or more 1/1 counters on it, you may remove all of them. And if you do, exile each other non-land... The operative word in there? Other.
Yeah.
So even if I nail one for 4, each other non-land permanent with converted mana costs less than or equal to the number of counters removed this way.
Yeah.
That card will see play in Standard. That card will see play in Commander. Are you kidding me? Atraxa?
It's kind of like a super-powered Pernicious Deed. Green and black have no problem with killing things, so you're going to be getting a lot of counters on this just by it existing. It's going to be one of those cards that people are like, okay, we need to kill this because it's, if you think about it, it's got sort of like an Ugin minus X for its upkeep ability.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And even if all you need is one counter on there, and you can be like, that's a nice mana crypt you got there. It'd be a real shame if I exile it.
Everything we've been seeing so far, to take this a little bit more macro, everything we have been seeing so far with this seems to point to tribal.
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to return to tribal.
Absolutely, yeah.
They want to get back into the tribal deck business. And, okay, that's a step back into old Magic. I'm okay with that. We haven't really seen that since Ixalan.
I mean, Realmwalker,
where they've been like really focused on tribal.
Yeah, Realmwalker in and of itself basically screams there's going to be tribal stuff because they have now cards to support tribal that aren't necessarily of that tribe, which was what Ixalan, the problem with Ixalan was, where if you didn't get a lot of vampires and you're trying to build a vampire deck, you were kind of screwed. This kind of plugs that hole.
So listen, guys, okay, over the coming week, in the next week, we're going to try to drop this episode tonight, so Monday, hopefully this gets into your podcatcher tonight. Over the next week, you need to email us, you need to get on our Discord, you need to get on our website. Tell us what cards you'd like to see us do, because I think starting, is it Monday or Tuesday that they start really?
Next Monday, the 7th.
Yeah, so, our show next week, the next 2 weeks is going to be pretty much...
Call time.
Yeah, it's going to be kept Kaldheim wall to wall.
It's going to be cold.
The official Kaldheim spoiler season will run from 7th to the 19th. So January 7th, which is Thursday. So, again, they will drop a few. So I have a feeling they'll drop a few before Thursday. Even still, we'll get in deeper to what's been dropped so far. I mean, we're looking at what? I think they've released...
just a few cards.
I'm looking at Scryfall. 43. So,
but a lot of them are alternate frames, and some of the stuff are in the theme boosters. So,
and plus, like I said, next week's also our 2 year anniversary, so we might have a little bit of the anniversary show and talk about the show going forward and things of that nature. But with that, I think we're ready. I mean, unless you've got something else, dude, I think we're good to go here, right?
And I'm looking forward to spoiler season is my favorite time of the year. It happens a lot more than it used to, but
mine is
I'm
Christmas.
Still super looking forward to it. Yeah, that's all done now. Spoiler season. All
right, let's go to it. Let's go ahead and get ourselves an end step here. All right, so as Aramis and I start rolling up our playmats, putting our cards back in their boxes, and taking the pizza boxes over to the trash, because damn it, your mother still does not work at this game store. We want to remind you that we do stream Arena, or in my case, other games, on the Planeswalker Podcast channel on Twitch. Look up Planeswalkers Podcast on Twitch. You can. We also stream our shows there. If we're doing a show, whether it's the podcast regular or our playcast, which we do on Wednesday nights, which we need to change end step so we announce that. Yes, Wednesday night at 7:30-ish is our playcast where we play Paper Commander. You can find that all on Twitch. Look at Planeswalker Podcast on Twitch. You can also follow me there at Mindcrime73.
And if you wanted to follow me on Twitch, my handle there is ArmekWRX. Anytime I'm on there, it's going to be on the Planeswalkers Podcast channel. So look for me there when I am on.
Captain Unemployed, are you going to start streaming anytime soon?
No.
Oh, okay. Did you get a job?
No.
Oh.
But if Twitter is more your speed, you can find our show at Planeswalkerpod on Twitter.
All right. And my personal Twitter is @WRBenson. But I'm going to be honest with you. I really am there just to... I'm just kind of following people. I kind of lurk on things. I'm really there to follow my favorite musical artist, David Hasselhoff. The Hoff gets my engine running, man. And so I'm on Twitter just to get the ins and outs of what's going on in his life. But I do occasionally tweet there. So you can follow me at WR Benson. And of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/plainstalker. No S on the end. We took that last S off for savings and because some asshole took the name. But so like and follow us there. And here's the thing, guys. What we kind of alluded to is that in the coming weeks, as we did in every set, we will, thanks to Kerwin's Game Store, be giving away a box. Want to find out about how we're going to be giving away a box of Call Time? Be on our Planes on our Facebook page, as well as join our Discord, discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. That's where we kind of hang out. It's been pretty quiet the last few weeks, I think, because of the holidays, but that will pick up during the win a box. So if you want to win a free box of Call Time, booster box, you know, you're going to want to like and follow us there and go to our Discord.
And finally, if you want to send the show an email to either, you know, give us an idea for the show, if you have a question for either one of us, you can email the show directly. And the address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you want to email Will, his email address is will@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you want to send one to me, the email is aramis@planestalkerspodcast.com.
And it bears to note that if you email podcast, it goes to us both. That's the difference there. So I want to remind you, too, that I do host another podcast. It deals with the television show DC's Legends of Tomorrow. It's called Legends TV Talk. Hopefully that show comes back someday. You can find us on Facebook at Legends TV Talk. We've been doing some, as you guys can see, I tend to play a lot of Minecraft on our channels these days. And we do something called Flashcraft. So we're in our own server. We're building DC Comics type stuff in there. So we just finished the Hall of Justice. We're still working on the Legion of Doom. We're kind of bored with the Legion of Doom, I think. So we ended up doing other things. But it's kind of fun. If you like Minecraft or anything like that, it's a fun way to watch the show. We definitely hope you hang out there. So let us know. Come and hang out. And I also leave us an iTunes review. They really do help the show out a ton. If you really want to grow the show, but you don't want to be a part of the Patreon, and I understand that given the economy and things of that nature, you just can't. This is really what you can do. And if you don't have iTunes, you know what? Download it to your computer. Sign up for an account. Just go in and leave us a 5-star review on the page. Believe it or not, that does more to get eyes on the show than any sort of Patreon or anything like that. But, you know, also make sure you patronize KGSonline.com and let them know you listen. But go to Apple iTunes, look up our Planestalker podcast and leave us a review there. That would really go a long way to helping us. But on that note, we want to say thank you again for listening to us tonight and hanging out. We will be back this Wednesday with Commander Crap, or with our playcast, where we'll be playing against, basically it's going to be a dogpile on Steve, as well as just playing Paper Commander. We'll be back next Monday with the show regular. Check us out online. Come and hang out. But thanks for listening. For Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying, as always, you are our most valued resource. And remember to keep some of your mana untapped because you never know when you need it. Take care and have a great week. Bye-bye. Yeah. Yeah.